for the next 2.5 minutes, there's about 3 C-bombs that are dropped. So I was like, oh my God, that's so funny.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode, I'm going to say probably 39 and a half, 39.5 or 29.5 or 30 and a half. I don't know. This will land somewhere in that whole
spectrum
of things. This is a Scary Dad podcast, and we normally care about numbers, but we also normally do a history segment, this day in history.
But we're
not doing that tonight.
Tonight,
we've got Bride of Scary Dad eating popcorn. We've got Amy about to give birth to Dalvis. We've got Randy. We've got Chris.
What's up?
Gia, dude, some beer up in the his house.
That's what we got. And then Bride of Scary Dad just ran away because
she's scared.
I'm just that
scared.
Scary.
Right. That's understandable. She hung around this long. Oh, wait, there she is.
She came back.
So what we're going to talk about tonight, the reason these guys are here is because I just finished making that crib that I've been talking about on the last few episodes. I just finished it. I just delivered it.
Yes.
So before we get into the episode, I want the recipients to say that was awesome.
That was dope. It wasn't even awesome, folks.
Please.
I can tell you right now, I've known Billy Smooth for the last 2/3 of my life. And I've seen probably every project he's turned out. Unless it was a private project that he just turned over to the owner. But I always saw some kind of pictures along the way, you know. And I would have to say it is hands down the best work I've ever seen out of you, man. It is friggin' beautiful.
It is a work of
art. It's beautiful, beautiful. Mahogany inlay on Tiger Eye Maple with mahogany runners. It's beautiful.
It's awesome. A beautiful piece. Really excited to put a child in it. I feel
it's bigly huge.
It's bigly. It's really beautiful. It brought tears to my eyes, and not just because I have a lot of hormones.
You've never seen one like it. I guarantee you.
Never ever.
It doesn't exist.
So now we got the pre-show done. I'm gonna sign off in my David Letterman sort of way, like
that's right. Yeah.
And fling it.
Okay,
throw
we got the dudes
paper.
Of beer people here. We got the relatives here. We got their wives here. We got my wife here, which never happens.
Yes, but why? Podcast.
Give me 5, baby. Boom.
Damn right.
All right, so we're going to start with Randy. And the panel tonight is, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Ooh.
And why?
Ooh.
Okay. For me, I think, hands down, probably the one that sticks in my mind most anyway. You know what it is? I'm looking at Chris right now.
Yeah.
He's trying to chew his gum.
Yeah, no. I'm with you.
All right. To me, I think the most the scariest movie that has resonated with me throughout my life is Exorcist 3. I'm a huge fan of George C. Scott. It was probably not a cinematic tour de force, but there were several moments, many moments in the movie, I think, that just caught me. One is when the crucifix opens its eyes. One's when the old lady goes walking across the roof of the room. Okay, there's just several things in there that I wouldn't call jump scares, per se, but just strike you, were expertly filmed and just freaked the shit out of me when I was watching it. And I think probably too, it hit me at an age. I was probably in my late teens or early 20s.
Early 20s. Because you read the book.
Yeah, I did.
And gave me the book to read.
Yeah, I did read the book when the movie came out.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's one that's just always stuck with me. It may not be the scariest movie out there, but for me, and another one that I think is probably that's etched in my mind is, two of them, Children of the Corn and Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
Burn. We'll get back to those.
All right.
You said Exorcist 3.
All right.
Randy's done. I'm going to go to Amy.
All right, I was going to be negative and do the one that I don't like, but Randy inspired me to do the one that I do like.
Thank you.
It's not a like, don't like. It's the scariest.
Yeah, the scariest.
Yeah, but
the
again,
one that, the one that hits you at home the most.
Yeah, no, but I have opinions, and one of them would be like, this, I hate this, but no, I'm not going to do that. The movie that I love the most that is a scary movie, and it's totally scary, and then after you watch it the first time, you know, like, you know what you're expecting, you know, so, but you can still watch it, is Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
Now, nice. I like Evil Dead 2 for many reasons, one being that it's exactly the same as Evil Dead 1, but done better, which I kind of appreciate. It's kind of like they were like, you know what, we did it, but let's figure out how to do it better. And also, it's just got so much insanity in it that I was like, what is going on? And Evil Dead 2 expounds on the freakiness that was the first one. So you see the first one, and you're all like, okay, that's super scary, but it's very basic. It's like somebody read a book on how to write a horror film, and then they were like, this is how you write one. And it's classy and very classic in the way that it's set up. But then they were like, okay, we figured out how to do all the effects. We figured out how to get everything done. And we have a little bit more money, so let's make this one. So I love Evil Dead 2. I'm going to say the most because, for me, it's like the best one-man show I've ever seen. Like, the beauty of it is that it's just one guy. I mean, like, there's so much stuff that goes on. There are ghouls or whatever, but there's the moment when his own hand attacks him. It's like that's so awesome.
Oh wow.
Like, it's so awesome because you're freaking out going like, "Oh my god, it's coming for him." It's his own hand.
Was it still attached to him?
Yes.
He had to cut it off.
Yeah.
That's why he ended up with no hand and put a chainsaw there.
Yeah,
okay.
that's the beginning of the whole, you know, sort of a lot of the lore of the thing. But
gotcha.
It's just like, great that he just chops it off. Like, to see this guy fighting with his own hand.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, it's
beautiful.
The classic pillow in the face moment.
Right. One of the features we're actually going to bring out very soon is Fresh Eyes. And it's going to be a feature that we do whenever we're watching old horror movies.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, but we're going to watch it as if we'd never seen it before.
All right.
So, this is not part of it yet because I've always, like you said, Evil Dead 2. I don't think I'd ever really seen Evil Dead 1, or if I did, it was just kind of wrapped in. It's the same movie.
There is no need. It literally covers Evil Dead 1 within the first 15 minutes.
But
it tells the whole story.
But Evil Dead 1 is one of those things where it's kind of like Blair Witch Project, where it's, if you separate yourself from the special effects, you're like, well, that's a good, scary story.
Sure.
Evil Dead is one of those too, where it's like, wow, that's pretty scary. Like, man, you just showed up for a cabin in the woods. Thing about Evil Dead 1 is, why the hell are we going to this place? And once we get here, you're like, oh, there's a basement full of devil tapes.
Yeah.
Why are we staying here?
Yeah, why are you still here?
Not a good idea. Go ahead and bounce before things go crazy. And then all of their girlfriends turn on them.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good thing. But I have to give it, like, you know, if you're going to, like, the hand is attacking me, I have to give it stars. Evil Dead 1 gets, like, 3 stars. Evil Dead 2 definitely gets 5. It's the same freaking movie. It's badass.
Yeah.
But did it scare you? Did it make you afraid to look under the bed?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I'm not a scary.
No, I'm asking with you.
I'm not a. I'm not a scary movie person. I'm most anything with any level of like ghoul and is gonna scare me for sure. And I didn't watch them until after I was with Chris, and he was like, "These are things you need to watch." And then I was like, "Okay, that seems right." Oh my God, what is this?
They are things you need to know.
Yes, thank goodness I was able to sink into liking Bruce Campbell a lot. So it was I was like able to separate enough not to have nightmares for weeks.
So on that note, can I go next?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not a scary movie person. I don't like gore. I don't like being afraid. Fresh Eyes will take here or there. I think there's probably a whole long list that I could learn from. But I have to say the first scary movie I ever saw that really resonated, even to this day, to me, was Jurassic Park.
Oh.
I was 10 years old.
Rock on.
It was the first probably PG-13 movie I was allowed to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
And between the T-Rex and the Raptors chasing those kids,
yeah,
to this day, to me, we went and saw it in the theater, what, 20th anniversary, something
it
like that?
Held up.
It held
yeah
up.
Oh, yeah, no, oh, it's it still a great movie, yeah, man.
And there's the aliens, the Event Horizons, and all the things I've seen since then. But Jurassic Park, for me, is hands down that first memorable moment of going, holy hell, what is this?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
It's...
That's great.
Yeah. Jurassic Park was scary. Like, we went to the 20th anniversary, and it was Spielberg, and it was Jaws.
Yeah.
He's there.
It's with all dinosaurs, right.
It's hidden behind the shadows,
yep,
and everything. You don't really see that many dinosaurs. You see friendly dinosaurs, but you don't see mean dinosaurs until they really come out. And even then, it's all hidden behind the shadows, and they're like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, first time you see the T-Rex is just an empty lasso.
Yeah.
Just an empty lasso where a goat once was.
But right, through the love of it all, how many have there been now? 4 coming on 5?
Yep.
And you still have to 6 watch all the others just to make sure. But the one that just came out recently, Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Once again, makes me feel like I'm a kid in that movie theater.
Right.
Like,
no, I love that movie.
Holding on for dear life, being like, holy hell, what's happening?
It's great.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that.
That's a hard experience to find at this point in life, man.
It's
Jurassic World was good.
It was good. I loved it.
It doesn't have to be gory, because I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm a huge fan of gore, but that to me is not... I'll go next, because you're the host, and you'll go last, and that's how this game works.
Well, you haven't stopped talking the whole time, so you might as well go.
Yeah. I've been quiet.
Sure.
What relatively. Are you talking about? Yeah. Relatively.
Relatively. It's all good.
No, I mean, for me, especially movies like Jurassic Park and stuff like that, it's something that you're not dealing with the metaphysical. You're dealing with something that you could very well, within the realm of science now, run across within the next 10 years. You're dealing with something, you know, like, what if you're at the zoo and the elephant goes crazy, you know? Something like that. There's all kinds of actual, like, realistic fears. Even the idea of, like, going, being the dude that goes on to the roller coaster ride and the seatbelt doesn't work. Like, that shit happens. I had friends that worked at Disney World, and they pay families millions every year to just, it's okay. People die. It's a roller coaster. Let's just not tell everybody that they died at Disney World.
All right. So your scariest movie was,
you know, and I was just getting into the psychology of it there. For me,
oh okay,
yeah.
The scariest movie, I would probably because it's a toss up for me, and it's the three that you mentioned.
Okay,
oddly enough. Because
we grew up and watched all three of those probably 50 million times.
Oh my God, man, yeah. Not only that, but we had that creepy fucking scarecrow.
Yes.
That was at the end of the damn stairs in the apartment.
Yes.
This little, like, harvest scene that was a scarecrow. And there I was, like, 5 years old watching Dark Knight of the Scarecrow on TV. And you go to bed and it's like, all right, go to bed now. Let's go up the dark stairwell. And at the end of the dark stairwell is this friggin', you know, scarecrow.
So did everybody like bother you that Dark Knight of Scarecrow was Dr. Giggles?
Yeah, right?
Go ahead and tell your story. I just wanted to throw that down on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make it a little more scary for you.
Yeah. And, you know, and on top of that, there was, I mean, I remember He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
Yes.
Just the representation of it and the amorphous blob that followed you. You know, and stuff like that. Like, A Long Dark Hallway to me was hell for a long time when I was about 8 or 9 years old, because I could imagine that little bump following me down the hallway straight to my bed. But it was, I would say probably the scariest movie that I saw in the theater would probably have to be Exorcist 3. And it was literally some of the creepy stuff, like Randy said, that happens inside of it. That you know, it's not jump scare stuff. It's things that, if you're familiar, and you know, like, it's really interesting being a huge fan of the first movie and loving the third one as much as I do. There are some really cool parallels between the two that happen character wise and stuff like that. And you get this whole overarching story that exists between the two that really kind of ties stuff together.
Yeah.
And, like, you get this whole twisted reality. And, you know, William Peter Blatty came back for that. Like, Exorcist 2 was not written by William Peter Blatty. The first one and the third one were. And, like, you can absolutely tell, like, the true horror, the suspense, the visceral, like, we're gonna get deep inside your psyche and jack with something right now.
But why is it scary?
For me, because it was deep and visceral and got inside my psyche. There were some scenes in there with the headless statue, things like that, and some other
things.
Like I said, there are so many nuances, and it's one of those that, like, if you watch it the first time, you're really not going to get all the nuances, because there's so much stuff that happens that is even alluded to in the first one that's crazy and wild, that's so deep and, like, weaves this little web between these characters over a 30-year span, and it's just a mind screw, and it's a straight up freaky movie, man. Like, straight up freaky.
See, I've never seen the third one. I remember watching the first one in, like, junior high.
That, like, was my first
sleepover kind of stuff, and just being like, I don't like this. This is not me. This is not what I'm into at all. But you're at somebody's house with a group of people, so it's that whole, like, yeah, you kind of have to man up and deal with it, or pretend to be asleep. And
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I saw the first one when I was probably 6 or 7.
What? So that's what's wrong with you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right.
That's rough shit, dude.
It was on broadcast.
I am calling Brenda on that the first time she tells me I do anything weird as a parent.
I was there with you.
Okay. It was at
Randy saw Exorcist when he was 6.
I think she was probably there. It was on. What? This was on broadcast television. It was like the Friday Night Late Show or something. I was up at my grandparents' house watching this, and I remember distinctly going to bed and not knowing, but just wondering, oh wow, could this really happen? The age of 6 or 7, yeah. And yeah, don't remember really much of anything at that point, but except the fact that it was...
You start jacking around with Ouija boards and playing with Captain Howdy, you're damn right it can happen.
That's right.
Seen it when I was 6, because I saw it maybe, like, I'm gonna be honest, like 2 months ago for the first time ever, and I was like, yeah, all right,
yeah, no,
I'm 38 years old, you know, I'm kind of
still
I've
love
been
that
through
movie.
Some stuff,
yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, right, I've seen movies, yeah.
Did you see the, like, the 25th anniversary re-release with Reagan coming down the stairs,
coming down the stairs, and with the extra images of Pazuzu?
I remember seeing that.
I just get annoyed.
Yeah,
you know,
theater.
Like,
me, you, and Gene.
What's wrong with this mother? You know.
But that's the difference between watching something as a child versus as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the Exorcist 1, 2, or 3, or whichever one it was, at 6, and then you watch it as an adult, and you're like, yeah, okay. You
oh,
can
yeah.
see, you know, like, I remember watching Jurassic Park, and I still have nightmares about dinosaurs, and have to, like, stop myself in my sleep and be like, no, wait, stop. This isn't real. Just because.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that embeds in yourself as a kid.
Yep.
And what you take as reality or what you don't. And you mentioned before, it's like, okay, well, this could be real in so much time. I read a book a couple years ago about, like, zoos in Poland during World War II that got bombed and their animals got out. So people actually had lions and tigers and wild animals.
Oh my.
Going into their backyards, and you know, you're living in a bombed out
Whoa.
Situation and world, and oh wait, look, wait, what's that? And there's somebody snatching a kid.
Yeah.
So it's not that far off, it's just a different species.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, look at 12 monkeys. That
there
was
you
the situation in 12 Monkeys, was that the zoo ran amok and everything else, and next thing you know, there's a lion running out on the street and stuff like that.
What about you, Scary Dad? You haven't told us your scary movie.
I've got so many scary movies.
Yeah.
I've got so many scariest movies.
What get your goose pimples up?
Movie from beginning to end, the thing that probably gets me the most would be Jaws.
Oh, nice.
Good one.
It's not a matter of whether it's good or not.
No.
It's a matter of whether or not I had dreams when I was like 3 years old of being eaten by sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
I've had this obsession, kind of call it a Captain Quint obsession with sharks my entire life. Luckily, I've lived at least an hour or two away from the coast for as long as I've lived. Except for when I was little and there were fucking sharks out there. So, like, but, I was a pretty sensitive kid, so I've talked about this before on the show, and there was a certain point at which everybody being mean to each other, Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees just stabbing people for no reason.
Right.
Creeping into hospitals, stabbing each other in cars. There was just this sort of mental block against it of, why are you so fucking mean and why? Why would you do this? That laying in bed when I was a little child, I just could not process it, and it just racked me up so much that I couldn't sleep. And I know that I was just the bane of my parents' existence, because my little children come out of their bedroom, they say, "Daddy, I can't sleep." I'm like, "Well, just go in there and lay down and close your eyes, and it'll all be better." And then they do, and it works.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't work for me. Oh my God, I was terrified.
Well, if you were watching Jaws at 4, then yeah, that's the problem.
I wasn't watching Jaws at 4. You asked what my scary movie was.
Well, when you
watching that guy slowly slide into the shark's mouth.
But you said
you had nightmares when you were 3 years old of sharks, so one presumes that was connected to the idea that you saw the movie.
That's possible.
Were you having nightmares about sharks before you saw the movie Jaws?
I was having nightmares of being eaten by sharks long before I know that I ever saw Jaws.
You probably shouldn't have seen Jaws.
Yeah, that's probably not a good parental
damn
call
good
there.
However,
you're already afraid of them. Whew.
I mean, living by the beach and
having lived a life of regretting not being on one of those boats where they catch the sharks, I should have been doing that instead. I kind of like am drawn to that. I see those like A&E shows where hey, look, we got the bottom of our boat ass down into the water. Hey, look, we got a great white, and it's flopping around. I'm like, I should be there.
Yeah.
Right. I should totally be there.
Huh. We did. We went and did the whole Belize thing. That counts as sharks.
They didn't have teeth.
They did have teeth. It counts.
But,
tell your psyche.
But that's the scariest movie. Like, yeah. I've seen scary movies like ghosts and haunts and monsters or what.
Yeah.
Like, dude, sharks are, they're fucking real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fucking hungry. And they will eat you unapologetically.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you're like, oh, I don't agree with people fishing sharks. That shark will eat you, cut you in half, make you realize you don't have legs anymore, and then take off your head and your torso too.
Yeah. Make no mistake, given the opportunity.
That's exactly what they do.
They'll be like, I'm hungry. That's pizza rolls for them.
Make no mistake. Any fish, period. Any fish, given its size, able to do that to you, will do that to you. You are a food item at that point.
Chris's house, he used to have his, fish like in quarantine. He's like, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah,
that guy's an asshole too.
Captain Green,
Them fight each other out, and they're like, one of them would die. He'd be like, well, who's an asshole in that tank?
Who's the asshole now?
The gladiator fish.
Jesus.
But yeah, that's a scary movie for me. So we made it round circle.
Nice.
That is a Scary Dead podcast.
Hot damn.
Alright.
That's episode 84.6 or
something like that.
31.2. Yeah. Most likely it's 30.5 because this is a meta. We love you guys. Hit click, hit like, whatever. Go to the show, find us, get a sticker. Everybody say hoorah to Scary Dead.
Hoorah.